Meeting to order. We'll start. This is file item, as it start as a quorum, file number one, AB 747, Assemblywoman Caballero, State Water Resources Control Board, Administrative Hearing Office. This bill's been a lot of work for a long time.
Yes, Mr. Chair, it has. So thank you very much for the opportunity to be here this morning, Mr. Chair and Senators. AB 747 creates, under the State Water Resources Control Board, an administrative hearings office to adjudicate important water rights matters. This bill is good governance legislation that ensures California's water right holders receive constitutional due process and fairness. This bill is the result of constructive collaboration and compromise with the administration, creating a solution that improves transparency, accountability, and the overall function of California's Water Rights Administration, a critical, complex issue requiring neutrality and expertise. AB 747 is a successor to AB 313, which previously passed this committee and others without a single no vote, and passed the legislature with overwhelming bipartisan support. Unfortunately, it was vetoed by the governor. Since then, we have engaged in a cooperative effort working with the administration to reach what we collectively believe is a bill benefiting all parties. Currently, the State Water Resources Control Board serves as prosecutor and judge in its semi-adjudicatory hearing against water users. The Water Board's current hearing process appears biased and for water rights holders lacks fundamental fairness. AB 747 fixes the issues of bias and fairness by creating an administrative hearings office under the State Water Resources Control Board. It will do the following. One, ensure expert, unbiased attorneys qualified to act as hearing officers are tasked with adjudicating water rights matters. Two, remove built-in conflicts of interest, which inappropriately consolidate power within the State Water Board. Three, restores due process and fairness to California's water rights management. And four, bolsters confidence among water rights holders in the process. Until 2016, the Water Board had never decided against its staff in any enforcement action. In March of that year, several small Central Valley irrigation and water districts undertook an unprecedented but necessary effort and successfully proved to the Water Board that their staff had made significant errors in allegations levied against the district. That ruling in favor of the water district is the lone exception, not the rule, and given the current administrative process, many water rights holders feel coerced to settle administrative actions initiated by the board rather than pursue administrative adjudication. The structure proposed in AB 747 has a positive precedent. Most state agencies currently send their administrative enforcement actions to the state's Office of Administrative Hearings, allowing neutral third-party judges to fairly hear and decide the enforcement actions. This process not only follows common sense, it embodies the checks and balances that are essential to our political system and Constitution. Thank you, and I ask for your aye vote today.
Thank you very much. Anybody in support?
Good morning. Gail Delahant with Western Growers Association, and we are in support of this bill. We do have a concern about the funding piece, but we understand that we can work that out next year. Thank you. Very good.
Thank you so much.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. I'm Adam Robin with the Northern California Water Association. We support the provisions of this bill that would establish an administrative hearings office in the State Water Resources Control Board. As discussed, we think it will help ensure that these water rights matters are heard in front of an impartial decision maker at the Water Board, as well as help the Water Board to more efficiently discharge its existing roles and responsibilities under the Water Code. As noted in the analysis, we did previously request an amendment specifying a role for the general fund in financing the administrative hearings office. As water rights fee holders know, those fees have increased dramatically over the past 15 years, but we look forward to working on that issue with the author, this committee, and others in the future. We very much appreciate the author's leadership on this important issue, and we urge your aye vote today. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Good morning. Kathy Cole with the Metropolitan Water District of Southern California in support.
Thank you.
Carolyn Jensen with KP Public Affairs on behalf of Westlands Water District in support. Thank you.
Any further in support? Any opposition to this measure? Any opposition? Hearing and seeing none. Questions from the committee? I just want to thank you on this. You know, this obviously was informed by the veto of AB 313 last year. And I, from what I understand, that the parties have been working together with the administration, and literally the reason for the delay is not any last-minute maneuvering, but it's just simply trying to fully and finally get that agreement with the administration that kind of pulled everybody together to come up with this alternative for hearings, giving the workload of the State Water Resources Control Board. So I thank you for your good work on this and all of the challenges that we face. The bill's been moved.
We don't have a quorum.
We can't do it. We need how many more people?
One more.
Well, only one more. Waste those two people. By virtue of the strength of his character, not by the size of physical size. Physical size. I was thinking about me. I'm fatter than him. So I was trying to think about it. Okay, so we'll thank you very much, and we'll, as soon as we get a quorum, we'll entertain that. Thank you. Next, file item number 2, AB 2534, Assemblymember Limon, Public Resources Environmental Education Grant Program relating to the Hollister Ranch.
Thank you, Chair and members. Assembly Bill 2534 is a statewide bill with both a state and district-specific benefit.
Can I interrupt you for one moment to establish a quorum? Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Hertzberg.
Here.
Hertzberg here. Stone. Allen.
Here.
Allen here. Hueso.
Here.
Hueso here. Jackson. McGuire. Monning.
Here.
Monning here. Stern.
Here.
Stern here. Vidag.
Before, just hold on one more second. We have a motion, AB 747, due pass to appropriations. Secretary, call the roll.
Senators Hertzberg.
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. Stone. Allen.
Aye.
Allen, aye. Hueso.
Aye.
Hueso, aye. Jackson. McGuire. Monning.
Aye.
Monning, aye. Stern.
Aye.
Stern, aye. Vidag.
It has five, but we'll keep it open.
Well, five, we'll keep the roll open. Okay. Sorry for the interruption. I apologize. Thank you for
your
patience.
That's okay. Thank you. This bill builds on the premise that access to our parks, speeches, and public resources should be available for everyone to enjoy regardless of their zip code. The bill does two things. One, it creates a grant program in order to increase the ability of underserved and at-risk populations to participate in outdoor environmental education programs. And two, the bill takes an important step towards removing barriers that have prevented the public from accessing and enjoying an 8.5-mile stretch on the coast at Hollister Ranch in Santa Barbara County. Public access at the large section of the coast has not been achieved for the past 36 years. This contradicts the clear legislative intent that envisioned and a phased access program, as well as the approved 1982 access plan. We have heard from thousands of individuals concerned with the lack of coastal access, and it is clear that Californians want the state to assist in reaching an equitable outcome. Providing children and everyone with access to outdoor experiences improves their lives and the overall well-being of California communities. I have with me today Jennifer Lucchese, Executive Director of the State Lands Commission, Susan Jordan, founder of the Coastal Protection Network, and Mario De Bernardo with the Office of the Attorney General is here to answer technical questions.
Okay. Good morning. My name is Jennifer Lucchese. I'm the Executive Officer of the State Lands Commission. Ensuring and protecting public access to our tide and submerged lands and our coastal lands is a core foundational element of California, of who California is as a sovereign state. This value of public access has been recommitted to by the state time and time again, starting with the state constitution, various court decisions, laws, regulations, mission and value statements of your state agencies. This bill, as it relates to the Hollister Ranch element, merely provides additional tools to the state agencies charged with enhancing public access to our coastline. It does not set precedent. It does not impact the various agencies' discretionary authority in terms of evaluating what options are available to ensuring and protecting public access. Again, this bill merely provides additional tools to the state agencies charged with ensuring public access so that we can our agencies can fully evaluate the options and ensure public access is achieved while also acknowledging and respecting private property rights. Thank you, and I'm happy to answer any questions.
Susan Jordan. I'm the director of the California Coastal Protection Network, and I work and reside in Santa Barbara. In 1976, the Coastal Act was passed. In 1979, individual parcel owners in subdivisions like Sea Ranch and Hollister Ranch complained that they could not provide public access as a condition of their permits, as required by the Coastal Act due to commonly held roads. So the legislature did them a favor. A very big favor. The legislature created a special section in the Coastal Act, 30610.3, that allowed individual parcel owners and subdivisions to proceed with construction in exchange for providing and funding subdivision-wide public access. At no time did the legislature consider exempting Hollister Ranch from the public access requirements of the Coastal Act and the California Constitution. After Hollister refused to comply with 30610.3, the legislature went a step further. The legislature gave Hollister Ranch its own special Coastal Act section, 30610.8, that set the amount of their in-lieu fee, allowed them to move forward with construction on the condition that subdivision-wide public access would be provided expeditiously and in a timely manner. That's the language in the statute. Here we are 36 years later, and homes in Hollister Ranch sell for many millions of dollars, but the public still has no access. And if you would like a modest residence, I saw a listing just yesterday for $21 million. If you respected members of the legislature, your staff, everyone in this room, and people possibly watching, went and drove to Hollister Ranch tomorrow, you would be turned away at the guardhouse. And that's just the basic issue. The purpose of AB 2534 is to start the process for opening subdivision-wide public access at Hollister Ranch. The legislature envisioned it and required it back in 1982. Yes, it is 36 years later. But I say better late than never. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Before we go to further individuals and organizations in support, I just want to ask the author a question, because process matters. And I had spoke with Senator Jackson with respect to this process, and hopefully she asked you this question. I didn't get a chance to look at it before. But, you know, in the last measure we just heard, this is a result of a year-long negotiation with the governor, with the final changes that needed to be here today. I get a letter from the chair of the Coastal Commission that says that, and I don't know this because I don't know this issue, recent news articles. What I want to know is, I just stood on the floor of the Senate this last week on behalf of Lorena Gonzalez-Fletcher and argued exactly what you've argued. When I was on the, appointed four people to the Coastal Commission in a previous life, same thing every year. Last year we had Senator Hill's bill relating to the same issue. We just did a grants program on this very thing, when you make the point that we continually do this. What's the compelling interest today as to why in the last week of the legislature, and it, again, it doesn't matter your issue, this is agnostic. This is about the integrity of the legislative process and why we have to have a hearing. What's the compelling reason today to establish these sub-accounts and accounts for these programs? I did read this report, August 18th, 1981. Mm-hmm. I did do my homework, adopted, amended 1982, Senator Jackson, so we were both right. But the point is that I want to know what the compelling reason is before, and then we'll let everybody else in on the other side, but independent of what their arguments are, I don't really care. I care about the integrity of this institution.
We have thousands of constituents who are engaged. That's the compelling reason. And they've come forward in the last couple months. They've been engaged for 36 years, but we've seen an uptick and an outcry in the state of California over the last couple months. And that's why. And I think because the process is important, this is not something that was taken lightly as far as introducing. It was not something that was not done with consultation. I think the reason you see multiple state agencies here is because the time is right now to move this forward.
I know that, but so what's the damage? Again, I'm not, please don't interpret it. I'm just, you know, I'm sitting at the table with my dad arguing back and forth of what we do because I think it's important. But what's the, and I'll finish here, what's the damage if this doesn't happen until next year? What's the problem that we're seeking to avoid by this urgency? It's important. It's clear. There's no question we always have the tension between people and who think they own the beach and they don't. Seen it in, I saw it in we saw it with Senator Hill. We saw it in Malibu. We've seen it all over the state. No question it's an issue. But what's the problem if there's a delay?
If there's a delay, it will add on to the 36 years. And we don't know if that delay will be a year. We don't know if that delay will be another 36 years. The time is now. We're capturing the moment. We're capturing public engagement. We have state agencies here. And I think part of the process for legislators also includes that policy is contextual. And the context is set up for this bill right now.
Others in support. Thank you.
Mr. Chair. I was here for technical assistance, but the Attorney General also has a strong support position on this bill.
I do. I'm aware of that. I want you to stay here because I want, when the other side comes up, I want you to make your point. So don't leave. You're the independent arbiter here as what the law is. Yeah.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members of the committee. Alfredo Redondo here on behalf of Latino Outdoors, one of the primary co-sponsors of the measure. Did want to make one brief comment, if the chair will indulge. So it's regarding the opposition's letter where they talk about the Outdoor Equity Grants Program as being a shell that is, you know, a part of this ploy to move this now. It is absolutely not a shell. The Outdoor Equity Grants Program is still in this bill and will move forward and is a core component of work to ensure that we have equitable access for all residents in California to our outdoors. Thank you very much and strong support.
Thank you so much.
Mr. Chair, Member Steve Baker with Aaron Reed & Associates. We have two clients. 10 Strands supports the bill that was originally moving forward on the outdoor education, and Resources Legacy Fund supports the public access piece of it in support.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Marcela Gutierrez-Graulich with Azul. I'm strong support of this bill.
Thank you.
Jack Ainsworth, Executive Director of the Coastal Commission, here to ask your support for this bill. This is an incredibly important bill in the sense that it's providing grants for underserved communities, which is a focus of our commission, and also the opportunity and to open up access into Hollister Ranch after 36 years. And I'm here to answer any questions if you have any questions, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, sir, very much. Thanks for coming.
Good morning. Vanessa Gonzalez on behalf of the California State Parks Foundation in support.
Thank you.
Good morning, Kyle Jones with Sierra Club, California, in support.
Good morning, Mr. Chair. Rico Mastrodonato with the Trust for Public Land in support, and want to thank the author for this bill. Thank you.
Juan Altamirano with Audubon, California, in strong support.
Thank you.
Good morning. My name is Grace Bowden Sneed on behalf of California Council of Land Trust in support.
Thank you so much.
Genevieve Abaddon, on behalf of Surfrider Foundation, Zero Waste USA, Seventh Generation Advisors, Center for Oceanic Awareness, Research and Education, and Wishtoyo Chumash Foundation in support. Good thing you're all sitting down.
Thank you. I get that.
Good morning. Teresa Berkovich on behalf of Heal the Bay, Plastic Pollution Coalition, the Five Gyres Institute, Upstream, and Wild Coast in support.
Thank you.
Good morning. Justin Milan from the Natural Resources Defense Council in strong support. Thank you.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and Senator Evan Goldberg with State Controller Betty Yee in support.
The famous. You guys got to know he's an important guy.
He's
been around for a long time. Okay, opposition. You guys got to go, but he's staying.
Susan.
You guys come up here. You guys, thank you very much. Thank you so much.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, my name is Steve Americano. I'm a partner at the Brownstein Hyatt Law Firm. I have represented Hollister Ranch for at least 3 decades, and I'm deeply involved in the pending litigation between Hollister Ranch and the Coastal Commission and the Coastal Conservancy. We delivered a letter to you yesterday explaining the reasons that Hollister Ranch opposes this legislation in its present form. And I say oppose with a pang of regret, because in the absence of the recent changes from last Friday night and Saturday, AB 2534 was a bill we would have gladly supported. Assemblywoman Lamone deserves, pardon me, kudos for the legislation in its pre-amendment form. Our letter raised one key question, which the chairman has also asked. What's the rush? What's the rush?
But can I cut to the chase and the other stuff?
Sure.
Okay, the hard question is, okay, if you supported the rest of the language, what the change in creating these sub-accounts, these accounts that are being made at the last minute, Why does that change your position? Okay, everybody can argue it's last minute. I have a different point of view because my job is to protect the process. Your job is to advocate for your client. But substantively, why does that, who cares? Big deal. De minimis non curat lex.
Okay, and I'll cut right to the answer.
Is that your Jerry Brown imitation?
It's Latin, man. Come on, yeah.
And the answer is
the law doesn't deal with trifles, for those who don't speak with Latin. Speak Latin. Come on. I do it my way, you do yours your way. Go ahead.
Okay. And the answer to your question is that the bill does not only create subaccounts, to which we have no objection, it also changes the language of the legislation that Susan Jordan referred to that was adopted back in the early 80s. Language in the Coastal Act, which required that the owners at Hollister Ranch pay an in-lieu fee. That in-lieu fee has been paid by the owners at Hollister Ranch who have developed their properties. They paid $5,000 per parcel. That money's been collected and put into a fund. Now, if I could just back up a little bit, the litigation that we believe this legislation is designed to affect is between Hollister Ranch and the Coastal Commission. The Coastal Commission for 32 years has asserted that it owns a public access easement over Hollister Ranch. We have believed for 32 years that they are legally incorrect. And when the Coastal Commission and Conservancy undertook to take that easement 5 years ago, we started a lawsuit to have the court declare whether or not they had the legal right to do it. That lawsuit was hard fought and has been hard fought for 5 years. And after that period of time, we and the Coastal Commission came to a settlement, a very tough negotiated settlement under which the Coastal Commission would give up its claim to have an easement, which we thought never had any validity in the first place, and Hollister Ranch voluntarily agreed to allow managed public access to this very sensitive area. That settlement agreement was signed last December and is now under attack. And this legislation is designed to affect that settlement agreement. It is under attack by a group of trail advocates and environmental advocates who believe the Coastal Commission and the Coastal Conservancy made a terrible mistake by agreeing to settle the litigation. And they're trying to undo the settlement, and this legislation, we believe, is part of the strategy to put a torpedo into that boat. And the way they do it, and I can...
Can I just interrupt you, because we don't have a lot of time. We've got to get in the
sure,
floor.
Sure.
But the Coastal Commission executive director just here says he supports the legislation, and if he supports the legislation, why is that a big deal if he's in the, if he's also part of the settlement? He's not torpedoing his own settlement.
Well, the Coastal Commission, since the settlement was announced, has come under intense political pressure from trail advocates and other environmental advocates. There are members of the Coastal Commission who we think may have had second thoughts about the settlement. We don't know. We do know that the people who are trying to undo the settlement are now in the lawsuit. As of yesterday, their motion to intervene in the lawsuit was granted. They are now in a position to directly affect the settlement by participating in the lawsuit. This legislation would strengthen their hand. We believe that this legislation, if it's enacted, will be used by the people who are now in the lawsuit, the trail advocates, in court to strengthen their argument. That's we think that you're actually handing them some better arguments than they have at the moment.
Anybody else in opposition? Any other opposition to this measure? Questions from the members. Mr. Hueso.
A comment, Mr. Chairman, because you know, I'm a former commissioner as well on the Coastal Commission. I kind of feel like it's another. I'm here at a Coastal Commission from the past, and I appreciate your question about what's the rush. But from my perspective, having been a party to this project years ago, and seen the current situation unchanged, makes me ask to the opponents of this measure, what's the delay? The Coastal Act is what it is. The Coastal Act is supposed to guarantee everybody in the state access to the coast. It was written to provide that. It was written to not only protect the coast, but also to guarantee access to everybody on the state. So when you make an argument and say we're the only ones that can protect the coast as the property owners, I appreciate that and I hope that you do. But everywhere else that the Coastal Act provides access to people to the coast, we can also provide protection of the environmental resources. So you're not the only one that can provide that function. The state and its laws and its programs and the people who allow the development and mitigate for that development are also doing that in that regard. And so I see this, and this is just a stall tactic. This is a very sophisticated way around laws. We make laws here to get people to get to the next step, and they find ways to oppose that because of a very extremely narrow interest. So I think the time is now, and for me, I'm a little bit frustrated to be here and have to read about this. Years after we set out to create a coastal trail, we have been investing millions and millions of dollars to put together a coastal trail, and there are people that are very influential, that are very rich, that control enormous swaths of land that are preventing it, and they're in the way of the greater good. And I think this is the right time to act, and I hope that we would. And one of the most compelling reasons why we should act is because we're here, and we can do this.
Remember that.
And that's a motion. If there are no more comments, to move this bill forward.
I didn't know we were getting into motions already. I thought we were going to have opposition.
We did ask for opposition. There was no opposition.
This is the opposition.
That was it.
Okay. So I still want to get to the bottom of the line of questioning that, Mr. Chairman, you raised, just trying to get to the substance of this as opposed to the history. And there's a lot of division and animosity over the years, and I know the public outcry is very real. I don't particularly like seeing this us and them attitude, though. I don't think it's healthy, and I don't think making the coast some place to have class warfare is a good thing for anybody. I will say that we're voting on a bill today about accounts, right? The bill is about accounts. You said it interferes with the settlement. Can you pull that thread a little bit? And then, so that's one legal question for you. The other one is more for the Attorney General's office. Bigger pending litigation going all the way up to the Supreme Court right now. Cert, I believe, was granted on the Martins Beach case. So just, I know a lot of this is sort of a two-step here of what comes next, right? And so we pass this bill here today, then next year it's subject to appropriation or whatever, and then there's all this pending risk. So just, I know it's a bit of a hypothetical, but I sort of want to get a sense of how this could actually play itself out. But before you go, can you just articulate, like, how does the account question, putting money, if we were to appropriate funds, this would sort of, what those funds would do would contravene the settlement? I don't want to let you answer my own question, but what
Senator Stern, yeah. I can answer the question.
Okay.
The people who oppose the settlement that I talked about say that the settlement violates two specific provisions of the Coastal Act dealing with in-lieu funds. That's one of their essential claims. They're now in the lawsuit, and they're going to press that claim and try and have the judge throw the settlement out. The legislation on the table here today amends the language of those same two statutes.
Uh-huh. So you're saying they'd have to take judicial notice then of that statutory change and then relitigate the entire case?
We believe that the change being proposed in the legislation before you will be used by the opponents of the settlement to bolster their case.
Right. How?
Because the opponents claim that the in-lieu fees that have been collected over the years cannot be used in furtherance of the settlement. They say that makes the settlement unlawful. The language of the bill before you today, we believe, is susceptible of being used by them in court to bolster that argument, which is why I think the legislature for years has said we're not going to consider laws that affect pending litigation because that's not an appropriate thing for the legislature to do. That's what this, that's, well,
yeah,
that, that may, that's that may be a naive.
It's a joke. Yeah.
Okay. Okay. I'm
it's
sorry.
It's not a strong precedent.
I thought perhaps I was being naive there, but okay.
It's good. Good try. Yeah.
But this bill, we think, is intended to do exactly that. It's intended to help the trail advocates who have now entered the litigation in their argument that the settlement should be thrown out, and they're going to use it in court. And that hearing...
I still understand that they're going to use it in court. I still understand what
because,
you're saying.
Because
the judicial notice of some... This isn't about
yes,
the... Un-
yeah, that's exactly...
But we wouldn't be appropriating any funds here.
It doesn't matter.
Okay.
Because it has to do with the authorized use of the in-lieu funds. The in-lieu
so
money
the
has been...
So the authorization of the in-lieu funds, you're saying, is an implicit interpretation
can we get the Attorney General on this
yeah, please.
To answer your question? That's why
I'm,
we kept
I'm
him here.
To,
because
Mr.
I knew this was coming up, and we want to hear what he has got to say. Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senator. Just to provide context,
okay.
the case is involving a parcel that was previously owned by the YMCA on the southern portion of Hollister Rant, where there was an offer to dedicate for public access. As the committee analysis mentions, this case is dealing with a very narrow public access easement on a smaller parcel that wasn't originally part of Hollister Ranch. The bigger public policy issue is the 8.5 miles of coastline at Hollister Ranch, right?
Is your office involved in this case?
We are representing the Coastal Commission and the Coastal Conservancy, and we signed off on the settlement. And one thing I want to point out with regard to the settlement, which I have right here, is that it specifically contemplates the state agencies taking separate action to provide public access at Hollister Ranch.
Well, that's the money shot.
Okay, so can I just, do you mind just
go ahead,
so I can finish
ahead.
This up? So I get the urgency from the public's perspective, but I'm...
Read that.
I'm a little hesitant about the... new intervener in the litigation, pending litigation. You don't feel it's going to reopen the litigation, the actual underlying case, and you do feel like it'll actually, like, that this will actually have to. You'll have to, like, not just renegotiate the settlement, but the underlying case itself.
No, it's a settlement. The settlement has settled the case.
Right.
The interveners are claiming the settlement is illegal. We believe this legislation is intended to help the interveners make their attack on the settlement. That is what we believe this is going
to
be used
for. Give everyone time to work. I mean, how much time between now and appropriation next year?
The hearing on this issue, this legal issue, is November 19th. The reason for the rush, to answer the question that I asked earlier, the reason for the rush, we believe, is to enact this bill before November 19th, because that's when the litigation is going to consider this question of what does the Coastal Act mean in this context. This bill amends the Coastal Act. It changes two specific provisions of the Coastal Act having to do with Hollister Ranch. And we believe that that amendment, if it's adopted by the and signed, it's going to be used in court.
So I would just say, and I'll pipe down after this, but if I'm voting aye on this legislation today, I don't consider that a vote to undo this settlement or take any intervening action in this pending litigation. I consider this vote and the purpose of this bill to be the mere establishment of subaccounts. So to the extent the courts even weigh whatever legislative history there is in this process, I don't consider this to be some contravention of the settlement or a reinterpretation of the Coastal Act.
May I suggest then that the language amending the two
further.
Sections
I think
of
you'll
the
you'll put that in the pleadings. Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
Senator Jackson.
We're
running out of time. We got to go to the floor.
No, you can't.
Just I want to be really clear on this. The opponents of the bill are claiming that the bill is attack on the settlement agreements. This is for the Attorney General and directly interferes with the pending litigation. Okay, so the question I have for you is what is the Attorney General's legal opinion as to this claim, that the bill is an attack on the settlement and interferes with the lawsuit between the Coastal Commission and the homeowners?
So again, the case is involving a smaller parcel, and the bill is dealing with the 8.5 mile coastline.
So is that you believe it interferes or it doesn't interfere?
The bill does not interfere. It's consistent with the settlement. The settlement contemplates the state taking subsequent action potentially to provide broader public access at Hollister Ranch and has provisions related to that action.
Thank you.
Mr. Chair, if I could just to that point, can the Coastal Commission enter into a settlement with any particular party in the coastline that doesn't deny that results in denying access to the public of the coast?
So we as a state agency, the legislature, we have a constitutional obligation to provide public access to the coast. Now we have to take cases on obviously a case-by-case basis, and some cases have strong legal authority, legal backing, and some don't. In this case, we negotiated, or our clients negotiated an agreement, which we thought, based on the situation, the facts, the legal theory, was the most viable way forward. But we strongly believe in the Constitution and that all Californians deserve public access to the coastline.
So by its very structure, the Constitution protects access to the coast, so nothing that we can do today could override that or even make it so that this, whether we think this settlement is wrong or ill-conceived, I mean, one way or another, that'll be decided by the courts, but under the guidance of the principles of the Constitution, isn't that correct?
Correct.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I certainly respect my colleague's experience on the Coastal Commission, and you know, I have concerns that we have somebody here from the Attorney General that represents the Coastal Commission, so I'm not sure we're going to get an objective answer. He's not going to say something contrary to the best interest of his client. I'm not a lawyer, but I know enough about law to be dangerous. Yeah, he was asked whether or not this would have any effect on the settlement agreement that was entertained, and so, I believe, according to the proponent, that it will have an effect because we're changing the goalposts and giving them standing, without which I think that the opponents to the bill make a very good argument that this should be heard after November, after the court has had its interdiction and come up with a decision. I don't think it should be the legislature that manipulates the laws in the best interests of plaintiffs or opponents in lawsuits. I see no reason why this can't move forward until next year, until we understand what the court processes is. We shouldn't change the rules of engagement until the court has had an opportunity to make their decision. So for those reasons, I'm not going to be supporting the motion today.
Okay. Yes, sir, briefly, because we had to get to the floor.
Well, there's a lot of layers to this discussion, yeah. And it's fascinating. I want to associate myself with the remarks of of Senator Stern. Because I understand that this is complicated, and you're going to end up in this is all going to be utilized in litigation. But I think that I'll be voting for this for the same reasons that Senator Stern mentioned, and I also would want to say that I think it's important that this not be misinterpreted, and I think that Senator Stern articulated those reasons.
Before you close, I just also want to make a quick statement. I was, as you know, from talking to staff, the idea of doing a delayed a date for purposes, asking you to commit because we can't amend the bill, but I don't think I'm going to do that. I think we made a pretty good record here today. Look, there is no question that access to the beaches, we have been dealing with this forever. It's in our Constitution. It is in our core. There is no question that there has been tension between people who have access. You know, we saw it in Mr. Stern's district years ago. We've seen it all over the state. It is a huge problem. As I say, I just stood on the floor the other day for a Lorena Gonzalez-Fletcher measure and made precisely the same argument with respect to a grant program that exactly applies to what you're doing, not as narrow. Every year I've been here, there has been arguments in both houses on exactly the same issue fighting for this. This document dated August 18, 1981, for some reason wasn't implemented, partly because of that tension. So I'm not going to ask for the delay because I think that I'm going to associate myself with Senator Stern and Senator Allen's comments with respect to this issue. So I don't think there is a need, because I think what's going to happen is they're going to take a transcript of this, and if they try to use this in the proceeding, it'll be clear the conditions upon which we did this. It's very important that the beaches are protected and for the public, but at the same time, I'm just concerned about the process and how we go forward. So that we have a motion.
Senator, as the principal co-author and as someone in whose district this is located, I'd like to also be clear. I, unlike my good colleague, the pharmacist, as an attorney, I'm going to trust that you as an attorney making a representation, at least as far as you understand and read the law, that this will not interfere with the settlement, because the settlement agreement does make reference to these additional access issues. If we're making a record, that is my understanding, that this is not going to impact that. And with that, I would be happy to move the bill.
I think it was already moved, wasn't it? Already moved by Senator Waite, so it's already been moved. Anything further?
I just want to add, I think I want to make it clear that I believe it is the role of the legislature to move forward laws that impact Californians in the best way possible, and this is consistent with that. I think you've heard the debate, which is, I think, meaningful, but the bill does not negatively undermine the pending settlement and instead advances the legislature's longstanding intent to provide meaningful, planned public access at Hollister Ranch. I also want to acknowledge that the conversations between the Hollister Ranch Association and myself exist. We were on the phone yesterday morning discussing this. So in no way does this legislation moving forward mean that we are not going to continue to work together.
Great. Okay, the motion is to return the measure to the Senate floor for consideration. Secretary, open the roll.
Senators Hertzberg.
Aye.
Hertzberg, aye. Stone.
No.
Stone, no. Allen. Allen, aye. Hueso.
Aye.
Hueso, aye. Jackson.
Aye.
Jackson, aye. McGuire.
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Monning.
Aye.
Monning, aye. Stern.
Aye.
Stern, aye. Vidak.
No.
Vidak, no.
That bill's out 7-2.
7-2. Meeting adjourned.
Wait,
Thank you very much.
Oh. No, we're still got a bill on call.
Oh, we still got a bill on call. Excuse me. We still got a bill on call. I apologize. This is file item number 1, AB 747. Secretary, open the roll. Sorry, Mr. Vidak.
Senator Stone.
Senator Stone.
Senator Jackson.
Aye.
Jackson, aye. McGuire.
Aye.
McGuire, aye. Vidak.
Aye.
Vidak, aye.
Okay. So, it's an important bill for the ballot.
So that's out 8-0.
That's out 8-0. Meeting, anything further? Meeting is adjourned. Heaven, baby.